This is a Rain replay from 1996.
This is the Rain Report. Recently, Atlas Radio announced it was out of business as a result of taking orders it could not fill for an HF amateur transceiver that never saw the light of day. Perhaps we can learn what led to its demise from Wes Shum, W9DYV, owner of a Midwestern amateur radio manufacturer during the 50s called Central Electronics. In his Chicago home, Shum designed and marketed the 10A and 20A, the first HF amateur single sideband transmitters. Later, he released the higher-powered 100V and 200V exciters, 600L amplifier, etc. Unfortunately, he had to sell Central Electronics in 1958. The buyer, the Zenith Corporation. In a 1993 Radio Club presentation, Shum explained that his problems with his company began in 1954.
Anybody who wants to go into business, whatever it is, you don't go ahead and do an advertising program way ahead of having the product ready to ship. That's prime example number one. We did that, and that was wrong. It cost me thousands and thousands of dollars in advertising. Sure, it generated tremendous interest. I wrote column after column of advertising, analyzing the features of the rig, etc. It was like a technical paper, the ad was. And we did all this all the time we were generating more interest. We suddenly had orders for $650,000 worth of units to build, and I didn't have but about 10 grand in the bank to go ahead and operate with. This was a dilemma. We had engineered ourselves into a corner. These broadband products were a team product. I mean, they were so complex and so advanced over the market at the time, no one person can take credit for such a thing as this. It was a team effort. We went ahead then and got plagued by people wanting to get paid. While we were doing our advertising program, consuming our money, we were selling 10As and 20As like mad, and we needed more money besides what they were bringing in, particularly at dealer prices at this point in time. So I went to the bank, and the bank had already loaned me money. They wouldn't loan any more. So I went to various places to go ahead and sell the company, one of which was Standard Coil, who were Standard Colesman at the time. They were Colesman Instrument. They made navigational instruments for aircraft and things of that nature. And they also made Standard Coil and were getting heavily into the standard TV tuners of the day. I had a deal cooked up with Jim Burke, who was the one who owned Standard Coil and also had big stock interest in the Colesman operations in New York. We had a meeting set up. I went there. He had brought, in the meantime, his lawyer in from New York. And every time that lawyer opened his voice, I got 10 grand less for whatever was on the table in the negotiations at that point. So finally it got to the point where it was ridiculous. I said, gentlemen, I said, you don't want to buy a company. I said, you want me to give it to you on a platter. And I said, I'm not about to do it. I said, because this has more worth than what your lawyer here from New York has generated for all this consideration. And I said, I'm sorry. I flopped my briefcase shut, put on my hat, and walked out. Now, that was a brassy thing to do because I was fielding calls every day where people were wanting their money. You know, suppliers, resistor companies, condenser companies, transformer companies, all wanting to get paid. I said, hang in there. I'll solve the problem. I said, don't cause me to file bankruptcy. So they all said, okay, if you're going to try it, we'll bear with you. And I got word through the channels that I was talking with everybody and everybody at the time that had anything to do with large amounts of money that could finance a thing like this. Here we had over $600,000 worth of orders, and we couldn't buy the first bit of components because we owed suppliers about $50,000. I had a call from Carl Hassel from Zenith Radio Corporation. He and Commander McDonald were, and another chap in there, were the ones that on Carl's kitchen table created Zenith Radio Corporation. So Carl had some kindred interest in talking to me and seeing if he could interest Zenith management in buying Central Electronics. Now, that in itself was quite a maneuver. They were billing over $250 million a year, and I had the potential there of perhaps another million or 2 million in sales if you could get the thing produced and get it out where you could sell it. So they sent in staff. They bought the company, paid off all the suppliers. We had people that came in droves from Zenith to help to get the show on the road. And suddenly, where I had an office with a telephone girl, a bookkeeper, a purchasing girl, and my secretary, that was the office staff, I suddenly had 25 people there, and we had to move the machine shop out of the area next to the office where the model making went on for the VFO and all that. Incidentally, that VFO in the 100V and 200V was a masterpiece of mechanical engineering and frequency stability. And you could actually adjust it yourself if you had a crystal calibrator, because every 50 kilocycles, a new little adjusting screw came into a slot where you stick your trusty screwdriver in and zero beat it with your crystal calibrator harmonics. Not like Collins, where you had to send it back to the factory and have them take it apart and unclamp it and then knife all those little segments in there to make the corrector have a Hillendale track. We made a Hillendale track with an idea that I had, that a bunch of screw heads with truncated ends on them, all stainless steel and highly polished, went on a roller in there that rocked a little secondary series oscillator coil in series with the main one. The main one had space turns so that it was nearly linear in itself. If you were off track, you could then adjust your little corrector screw with the little secondary rocker deal that was in there, and it brought it right on zero beat.
You're listening to an excerpt from a talk by amateur radio designer and manufacturer Wes Shum, W9DUIV. We'll conclude this program in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
This is a Rain replay from 1996.
Getting back to the other one where I was, we went with Zenith, as I said, as a matter of necessity, and I thought choice at the time. It turned out later that they bought it because they could pay for the whole operation by the tax loss that we had conjured up at Central Electronics. So they really didn't pay anything for the company after all, but they did pay off all those suppliers who were nagging the devil out of me. So it was certainly like being a chip off the rock of Gibraltar. We suddenly had all the money necessary to do whatever we wanted to do. We prototyped a 2500L, which was a broadband, 2500 watts input, 1700 watts into the dummy load on 20 meters. That was the first test with it. And we ran a whole series of tests on which is the best linear amplifier tube to use, as well as we did in our 100V and 200V. We used high-fidelity audio tubes that happened to have tan Bakelite bases on them and worked well even down to 10 meters because they were linear. All the 6146s were very, very nonlinear. The only time they became linear is when you dissipated so much power in them that you caused them to self-destruct from the standing dissipation to put them into Class A type operation. They had bow tie patterns instead of looking like a straight crossover, you know, like an X pattern. They were curved upward like bat wings. And I remember on one occasion at the Dayton Hamvention when I was part of the forum for discussion, someone in the audience asked how come you use 6550s in the output of your 100V. And I said, because they're the only tubes available that can handle the power and are linear enough to merit our consideration for use in that product. And the guy in the audience says, are you saying then that anybody else who uses 6146s are putting out nonlinear equipment? I said, yes, very simply, yes. And at that point, Al Piccettino got up from E.F. Johnson's crowd, a fellow from Hallicrafters got up, and he says, we beg to differ with that. We have run all kinds of exhaustive tests, et cetera, blah, 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 you know. And I said, I'll put mine on a scope any days against any of your products and show you exactly what linearity is in an RF amplifier. And at that point, they all sat down and we carried on with the rest of the sideband discussion. It was hard-headed sell is what it amounted to. You had to go ahead and convince people to try it. I think Zenith was doing an experiment in marketing to see if they wanted to go into the communication market. We developed a 100R receiver that was companion to the 100B. One existed. At the shutdown of Central Electronics, the 100R disappeared. And it was a working unit that was taken to Ed Passo's home at the time and was transceiving with the rest of the world on his beam antenna, and it somehow disappeared. They wanted me to continue on servicing. I remember the time when I got the notice from the board of directors meeting to go over to Zenith. I went there, like, what's going to happen today? The person in charge of the board at the time, what was his name? Anyway, he said, Wes, he said, the subject of today's meeting is the shutdown of Central Electronics. I looked at him and I said, did I hear you correctly? And he said, yes. And I said, well, might I ask why? And he said, well, Wes, he said, when you're building $279 million worth of equipment, he said, you need another $2 million or $2.5 million in sales like you need a hole in the head. He said, when it takes up 30% of your time. He says, purely economics. He says, there's nothing personal. And he said, I hope you don't take it that way. I said, well, I said, this has to be the most disappointing day in my whole life. I said, but I'll survive. He said, I'm sure you will. I survived.
Wes Shum, W9DYV, the father of single sideband and manufacturer of amateur radio transmitters through his Chicago-based company, Central Electronics, from 1948 to 1958. Editorial note. In 1993, soon after delivering this talk, Wes Shum left the Chicago area for retirement in Jonesboro, Tennessee, where he has probably been building his dream antenna farm on those 25 acres of undeveloped land he bought. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.
This has been a Rain replay from 1996.
The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2013, Rain, all rights reserved.